Empire.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. Do me a favor, subscribe to the John Kahn Report wherever you get your podcast. You're watching on YouTube. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. You can find us there as part of Empire Media. That's A-M-P-I-R-E. Always much appreciated when you tune in. And don't forget, you can read my work on ESPN.com. I'm going to have analysis of every pick that the Commanders make tonight and this weekend. So go to ESPN.com for all your analysis on every pick. So you just heard me. It's Jaden Daniels, folks. It's over. It's done. Jaden Daniels is the Commanders pick at number two. That is no surprise and shouldn't be any surprise if you've been following this for any period of time. More and more, it looked like that was a pick. Myself and others felt like that was going to be the pick, and you hear things that make you feel pretty secure in saying that. But until that pick is made or until you get closer to this time, you never know. But it's Jaden Daniels, and I have a feeling that they settled on him. I don't know how long ago, but certainly he's a guy that caught their interest very early in the process. Of course, that's why they were scouting these guys. But he's a guy that makes a lot of sense for what this franchise wants and what they wanted in a quarterback. You know, they're clearly, they were looking at Drake May. They were looking at J.J. McCarthy. And as I told you leading up to this, I don't necessarily think it was between Jaden and Drake May. I do think J.J. McCarthy was a guy that Adam Peters really liked. And so, but regardless, doesn't matter who was number two, Jaden Daniels was their top guy. And that's the guy they wanted. That's the guy they got. Now, let the speculation begin about how good he could be with Washington, what he can do here. And so there you go. Now, again, this makes a lot of sense. And I know there were a lot of Drake May fans, but with Daniels, you get a guy who is experienced and who has been in big moments in big games, had huge games against really good opponents. And so there's a higher floor thing that I'm going to get into a minute about why you can't assume that Jaden Daniels has hit his ceiling by any means. So, you know, before a month or so ago, and I started telling you, and I talked about this on the podcast, when I was at the owners' meetings, talked to a few coaches there, and I talked to a few coaches before and after that. But one of the coaches was like, just said, he's a stud. Another guy told me he'd be a home run. So these are coaches. Like, one of the things, and I know, again, Drake May had a lot of fans out there, but one of the things I kept coming back to is all these guys who do this for a living kept saying Jaden Daniels. And early in the process for me, I looked a lot at Drake May because you saw the moments, you saw the arm, you saw the size, but you didn't always see the entire games with that. And with Daniels, you did. And the more I watched him, the more people I talked to as well, the more I kept coming back to Jaden Daniels. And clearly they did too. Now, is he going to be the right pick? I don't know. They're still the organization has to do their job as well. They have to surround him with the right people, get the right scheme, get the right play calling. There are ways they can help and help his development, his growth as a quarterback. We did not see that with Sam Howell. I felt like they failed him with, yes, they put him in there, but they threw the ball way too much. They put way too much of the burden on Sam Howell. And, you know, you didn't see the run game. Well, this group, they built up the defense, and I think you have a better defensive staff to handle that defense. And then the run game, that's also going to be a key here. And that's one way they can help Jaden Daniels grow and mature as a passer. So the other thing is he helps the run game because of his legs. And I think, you know, again, initially I liked Drake May. And then the more I watched Daniels, and because initially what I thought with what I wondered with Daniels was, was he, you know, where's his progressions? How does he do this? Well, the more I watched him, the more you realize, and an NFC offensive coach told me the same thing. He's a passer who can run. You started to see, like, the more I saw him, watched him, the more you would see him going through his progressions. And one of the things Dan Quinn told me at the owners' meetings was that's one thing he liked. And you heard this on the podcast. I played that for you guys, where he said he liked how quickly Daniels went through his progressions. That was important to him because as a defensive coach, he knows how important that is when he's trying to defend a guy. So what does he do to throw off a quarterback? Well, he changes coverages post-snap. So as a quarterback, you better be able to read that and get through those progressions quickly. And you saw Daniels be able to do that. Now, it's not that the other ones couldn't, but Daniels, we know, does. And I think the other ones, McCarthy and May, are going to be, listen, I think with this group, a lot of it's going to be dependent upon how they develop them. What's the plan? I think as I record this, it's just Jaden Daniels off the board. So the other one's going to be dependent on where they go and what the plan is for them there. I don't think it's necessarily if one of them goes somewhere and fails or succeeds that the same thing would have happened here, because we don't know. But what we do know is Jaden Daniels is coming here. It's also, you know, it's funny because you go back to the Robert Griffin III days. All of you who were back there and remember that, it's only 11 years ago or 12 years ago that he was drafted here. I remember that very well, the hype around him and the excitement around him. Now, I think it was muted for this pick a little bit compared to that because of the choices that they had. And people had their favorites, and that's fine because there were a lot of things to like about each of these guys. But I'm curious to see where this goes from here, because I think one thing with Daniels, I think, you know, like Robert, he will run, but I think he's a more developed passer than Robert was at Baylor coming out. And I think that gives these guys some hope that he can continue in that. The question is, he'll have to limit those hits. He's going to have to learn. It's not just learning how to slide. It's changing a mindset and learning to say, hey, on this play, just throw the ball away, live to see another down. That's the mindset he's going to adopt for him to have the lengthy career. And that's one thing that Robert didn't get to soon enough. And it's something that they would talk about. And when he got hurt against Baltimore, it wasn't the zone read, it was scrambling. So that's one thing that Jaden's going to have to watch. And sometimes guys will say, well, it only takes one or two hits. Yeah, but it could take one or two hits. It could knock you out as well. So he's going to have to learn that. And when you'd watch him in college, like, he's very explosive. And I know one thing that these guys like is his ability to create on a third down and extend drives. And you saw that at LSU, you saw it against really good competition too. That's important. I don't think the other guy saw the defenses. I don't care what the rankings are in the NCAA. We know that defense in the SEC are going to be a little bit different. Alabama's coming at you differently than anybody in the Big Ten or the SEC is going to. So that gives you a good barometer of what that kid can do. And yes, he had good talent around him. He had two really good receivers. We know that. He also made it work with them. And I think he made that offense better. And I think when that team needed points, he was a guy that certainly led that with his deep ball ability. That's another factor for these guys, but also his legs. And there were times where sometimes those legs worked against him. That's why he would get sacked a couple of times, where you think you can get out of something because the last play you did and you gained 30 yards. Well, the next time it happens, maybe you lose 5. But again, his passing ability to me is a separator from what some of the other guys who've come out and who are multi-threats. Again, I think he is a passer who can run. But I think it's funny because with McCarthy, I think one of the things that was attractive to him is that he hadn't hit his ceiling, but he also, you know, he had played in big games. He had won big games. I think with Jaden, I think one of the things that teams, people like to see is, okay, your team isn't probably going to win this game. What kind of game do you have? And you'd still see him have big games against good teams. And again, I know the receivers, and that gave him an advantage with one-on-ones, et cetera. But I also know that that kid was very hard to defend in the SEC. Just take care of yourself, man, because that's a big thing. The experience factor is a deal. And not just like he played 55 games, but it's not just that you played all those games. It's what did you see in those games? What did you experience? He experienced adversity going from one program to another. He had to go into and learn a new system, learn a new team. Those things help teams learn about a guy. And then not only did he get to LSU and have to learn a new offense, learn new people, whatever, he really improved. And you talk to people who are close to him or worked with him, that's when he really started to take off. And he started working with, he's had a quarterback's coach for a long time. He started working with another one around that time as well. And they worked a lot on his progressions, getting through his progressions. Because one thing that he would always tell them is that he wants to be an elite passer. I think the running stuff he knows he can do, but I think he wants to be an elite passer. That's what he would tell them. And so that's why he would work on all that stuff. His footwork is really, really good. He's been trained well in that regard, but that experience definitely helps. He's been through a lot of things that can measure how you are and how you handle things. And again, not that the others can't, but he's been through it. And so you get an idea. The ceiling part is the hard thing here. And there was an assumption that he has hit his ceiling. And when you, I think when you talk to some of the evaluators and all that, they don't agree that he has hit his ceiling or that he still has, that he's still an ascending passer. Because you look at the progress he made over the last couple of years, it wasn't just over 5 years because the coaching he received each year was different. But I think over the last couple of years, you really started to see that him ascend in that way. And then that's why I think they feel good about where he's going. And a lot of it comes back to his footwork. So when you watch him in the pocket, you watch him, you know, watch the feet marry up with the eyes. That's a big key. And you, there were times in the past, like some of the guys they've had here in the past, did not always happen with that. Sam had to learn that, you know, Carson Wentz didn't always do that. So, but with Jaden Daniels, that's been the strength of his game. And so like when I've talked to people who are close and say, LSU didn't always tap into some of that footwork. In other words, some of the drops that they would take. There's not just a 3-5-7-step drop. There's different kinds of 3 and 5 and 7-step drops. And those, that's why some of these people feel like he still hasn't hit that ceiling because there's more he can do because of his footwork. Now we'll see. That's something that we'll see here. But the feeling now going into this is that's why they feel like he is still ascending, because he still, that there's things with that, that he can get to that. And that helps, that, that opens up different routes and different route combinations, et cetera, when you can do that. And that's why they feel good about where he's going with this. And so again, marry the feet with the eyes. That's a big deal. And that's something he does pretty well. Trades, free agents, quarterbacks, and all kinds of adventures await the Commanders this offseason. Looking for an adventure of your own? The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring has you covered. The country's largest ropes course and zipline park, located in Montgomery County, Maryland, is now open. Named Best Amusement Park and Climbing Destination in the DMV 2 years in a row, the Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is perfect for birthdays, corporate outings, groups, and families. With challenges anywhere from beginner to expert, there is something for all skill levels. Anytime you're thinking about reaching new heights, make sure you know before you go. The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is the only ACCT accredited park in Maryland or Virginia. Staying on the ground, give axe throwing a try. You can throw at traditional targets or play any number of interactive games. You can even upload your own image. So there you have it, folks. Climbing, ziplining, axes, food, and bonfires right in your backyard. Reserve your adventure today at www.theadventurepark.com/kind. That's www.theadventurepark.com/kind. You also wonder, okay, well, was he a one-year wonder? But I think because the work he has put in and the work he does, I think it mitigates some of that fear. This is not Achilles Smith, if people remember him. This is a kid who was, you know, he did go to LSU. It wasn't like he was terrible, 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 boom. He, you know, he had, as a freshman, he competed. They just asked him, you heard the Herm Edwards interview. They just asked him to compete and he went and did that. But they weren't really putting a lot of stuff on him as a passer. At LSU, when he got there, he had a pretty good first year, elevated himself to like a fourth round pick or so, and then he really took off. And but you have to credit the work he put in to get to that point. And yes, the talent he had, but it's not just the talent, because I've told you guys, I'm an Ohio State guy. I watched Kyle McCord last year with Marvin Harrison, Emeka Ogbuka, you know, Kate Stover, a lot of really good talent. He struggled. He would not be the top five pick this year. Now, what would the other ones have done here? Don't know. But I also wonder what would they have done in the SEC? They would, things would have been all different. That's fine. But we know what Daniels did. And I don't, like I said, that's why they feel he's still ascending. And now as far as personality, and that's one thing that for these guys is big, you know, you want a strong leader, but he's a more unassuming kid. He's a little bit more quiet, but he is a worker. The reputation is that he's a worker and likes to come in early, get his work done. You know, I've heard stories about him coming in at times, like if he knows people are coming in at 6, he'll come in at 4, you know, that kind of thing, get his work done. He's not a guy that's going to be, I think he's going to post a lot of stuff on Instagram. If there's stuff out of him on Instagram, it's probably coming from someone else. So I think those all things bode well. The what you want is first in, last out. And I know like when Peters was in San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan, that was always the big thing with Kyle. That's what they always wanted, first in, last out. And I think with this kid, I think that's what he's going to be, you know, and it sounds like that football, it matters greatly to him. And I say that, and it's like, it doesn't, that hasn't always been the case when I've seen some guys come through here. you know, that it doesn't always matter to them. So there's a lot of good things to like here. And then I think the last thing for them was poise, that poise in the pocket. And, you know, when I heard that throughout this at times describing Daniels, and it's not like the other ones weren't, but I think that was something that definitely could be ascribed to Daniels, is that poise. And then there's the legs. The legs are a massive weapon, folks. And we all know that. And I think when I was looking at this, like when I started thinking, who are they going to take? What would make sense? Well, what made sense always was what I would come back to, which is defensive coaches hate facing guys like Jaden Daniels. They just do, because they know that you could have the right coverage, you could have the right play, and he gets out of it and gains 30 yards and he keeps the chains going. But the difference is, like, Lamar Jackson can kill you like that, right? But I think this kid is more advanced than Lamar Jackson was as a passer coming out. Now, he may not be Lamar as a runner the same way, and Lamar's a little bit thicker, but as a passer, he can help himself as well. And that's what he's going to have to learn. And he's going to have to really work to make sure he doesn't get hurt and get down and take care of the ball. But those legs are a weapon, and it also regulates the defense. There was a story I would tell about Robert Griffin his rookie year, and he got better in the red zone. The numbers were better in the red zone. And I remember talking to Shannon and saying, oh, did he get better as a passer in there? And he said, well, it wasn't really that. It was more the way defenses started to play them was more regulated. They knew what they were going to get because they were concerned with Griffin's legs. And that in turn opened up the pass game because they knew what they're going to get. They know they're going to get zone coverage. They can run route combinations to beat that. And that helped. That helped Griffin, and it helped the offense. So there are things you can do because of that. And I don't know how many times they're going to run him on the ball. We'll find all of that later. But I do think that the legs will be incorporated in some way, and they are a definite, definite weapon. But again, the poise is another big thing. That's something they liked. And so here we are. It's Jaden Daniels. And I think, like I said, I think it's the right pick. Now, whether it turns out the right way, that's going to be interesting to see, because as you know, this is an inexact science. And just because most of the people I talked to would have said Jaden Daniels doesn't mean they're all right. Maybe you're going to be right about Drake May or even J.J. McCarthy, but it doesn't mean, but based on all the intel going into this, I still think he was the right pick. And I think they did a good job with that. And all the talk about, does he want to be here or not? So much of that was overblown. And I've told you that. And I never heard that he didn't want to be here. In fact, I talked to someone last week, said, absolutely, he wants to be there. Talked to somebody else who said he felt like that this person felt Washington and Minnesota were the best spots for Daniels because of the coaching he felt he would receive. This guy really likes Cliff Kingsbury. So I think, and the staff. So I think that, you know, so my point is, it wasn't like they're all like, oh, he can't go there. And I didn't hear that at all. Whatever, they had a preference to go to the Raiders. Okay, he knows Antonio Pierce. Whatever, you know, so I wouldn't take that and hold that against him. Now, if he comes out and says it, if he acts like it, I just don't think that's going to be the case. So again, good pick. You got the quarterback. Now let's see if they can finally make it work and have it last for a while, because this fan base could be ready to explode if this kid comes in and does something and you finally get the guy that can help. You know, you got the new owner, you got the new GM, you got a new coach, but that quarterback's the last piece to turn this organization around, or to really help turn it around and get it going back in the direction it needs to go and get to where you guys deserve it to go. So anyways, that's it on Jaden. So a couple more things. If there's another, you know, as we talk right now, they haven't traded back into the first round at this point. I don't know if they're going to. So if they don't, they're going to have 5 picks on Friday, you know. And so what would they need? Of course, they need to get a left tackle. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens the first round from after I'm done talking. Is Roger Rosengarten going to be there in the second round? Is Jordan Morgan going to be there in the second round? Amarius Mims, would they trade up to get him, or is he going to slide down there? Possibly, you know, would he slide there? But you've got to get the left tackle, because this all starts, you want to protect him. You can protect him with a scheme. You can protect him with some certain other things, but you need good linemen too. So get the left tackle. You also at 40, they look at defensive end, Marshawn Nealon and Chop Robinson. If either one of those guys are there, they'd be very tempting. You have tight ends, Jatavion Sanders, Jared Wiley. Those guys are both in here. I think 40 might be a little bit high on Wiley, but could you could always trade back and get a couple more picks and then get that guy a little bit later if you want, but that might be a little bit high for him. Linebackers are other spots that they've certainly looking at on the inside. I don't know that those will be day two picks. Are they going to be day three picks? But they definitely were looking at some linebackers. And so then that's going to be something to watch as well. And speaking of linebackers, they came out Thursday that they declined to pick up the option on Jamin Davis's fifth year. Zero surprise. And really, he can go and still have a good year. If they want to resign him, they can. But that's why I'd keep an eye on linebackers, because you got Luvu, you got Bobby Wagner. Wagner's a one-year deal, but maybe you can get another young guy in here so you don't have to pay another linebacker, and you can then build it that way. That, to me, would be good roster building. This team isn't connected to him anymore. They didn't draft him. It was a different group. And his play hasn't warranted it. There was never a chance that I felt like they were going to pick up that fifth-year option. It would have made no sense. It would be guaranteed money before it used to be guaranteed for injuries. So you'd see a lot of teams pick it up. If there's any question now, you just don't pick it up. And if you need to re-sign him, you do. But I could see them picking a linebacker and then developing them and then perhaps letting Davis walk if they opted not to re-sign him after next year. Anyways, that's it for Thursday night. Appreciate you guys tuning in. And it's a big day Friday, because we're going to get a chance to talk to Daniels on Friday afternoon. And then you got more picks on Friday night, and I'll be doing updates throughout. If they do make some more moves tonight, then I'll have another podcast for the morning. Otherwise, I'll be doing some stuff during the day throughout Friday, perhaps some shorts, et cetera, just to keep you guys updated about all these picks. We're going to have multiple podcasts over the weekend. So keep in there. Thanks for tuning in. Talk to you next time.